Let me be the first to wish you. I probably am not the first, but I want to be among the first to wish
you. It's only 9 o'clock.
A happy summer.
Yeah. Happy summer, Steve.
How about that? Isn't that fabulous?
Yes.
And here it is, Garden Talk on Saturday morning, and it's summertime.
Yes, summertime.
Makes me very happy. How are you, Gwen Kilcher?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, why don't we get the show on the road and talk to the Farmers Market Father of the Year, Dennis Dunn. here he is, taking time off by his kids' festive, honoring him and getting ready for the big parade with the Fied Farmers Market. Hi, Dennis. There's your introduction.
Jeez, I don't know if I can live up to that.
Jeez, yeah. Wow.
So if you haven't decided on what to cook for Dad, if you're going to take him to a restaurant, fine. But, gee, it's just as easy to throw some fabulous steaks on and make a great salad and cook up a little fruit dessert or get one from Dominique and have all your shopping done. Start our tour off in Land of Produce, Dennis.
Well, since you mentioned it's the start of summer, big news, the first tomatoes are here.
Very cool.
Who brought them?
Lazaro, of course. At the Patch has beefsteaks, and they're going like wildfire as we speak. So, like I said, the first tomatoes are here, so come on down. It's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a new farm here today, Blue Leg Farm. They're out on Yana Road. Great guys. It looks like they've got Red Jim's Romaines, butters, they've got spring mix, radishes, beets, Walla Wallas. They've got pea shoots and squash, so stop by and say hi to our new vendor, Blue Leg Farms.
Great.
There's still some asparagus hanging on. Tom at Armstrong has asparagus, and Hector's still got some asparagus out on the table, so that's good news. Lots of cabbages. Basil is coming in, so make some pesto. Make a Napolitan pizza. Wow, like I said, lots of bagels, still cabbage, summer squash, pickling cucumbers. If you want to make some great cucumbers and stuff, there's still some veggie starts, so it's not too late. Avocados are here, so we got pretty much everything today.
Beautiful. And what about fruits?
Fruits, there's still some citrus hanging on. Not a lot, but there's still some. Apricots, peaches, nectarines, plums. Sebastopol Berry has Logan berries, Marion berries, boysenberries, strawberries. That's, good place to start. That's for darn sure.
Sounds fabulous. Are you ready to move on to Carnivore Corner?
Carnivore Corner. Salmon Creek is here. I think I'm going to get some leg thigh portions and make my duck ragu. One of my absolute favorites.
Wow.
She's got duck eggs. She's got some cuts of beef, bottom rounds, chuck roast. She's got beef liver today, too. Sausages, stew, osambuca. So stop by and say hi to Ange. Let's see. Oh, Anna's Seafood is here, so you can stop by and get some salmon or some shellfish or throw some oysters on the grill, plus her prepared stuff. And I think that's about it for us carnivores.
All righty, moving on to Carb Court.
Carb Court. Dominique is here. I know she's got apricot stuff. Carl from Cousteau's is here, and he's got all of their crusty breads and rolls and stuff like that. Raymond's Bakery is here. They've got all of their breads and the like. And another new vendor, Healdsburg Bagel, is here.
Healdsburg Bagel?
Yes, so you can stop by and get bagels. They have bagel dogs. Good stuff. Yeah, they're here as well. They've been coming on Wednesdays. This is the first Saturdays. So stop by and say hi to the folks at Healdsburg Bagel for us.
Well, that'd be a good way to start off Father's Day. Some bagel, cream cheese, and lox.
That's right.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, and Andrea from Bourgeois Granola and Pin Forte is here as well. So she's returned after a brief hiatus. Her pan forte is delicious, great for desserts. Her granola is one of my favorites. Her cherry and cacao nut is like my favorite granola on earth. So
are you ready?
And say hi to Ange.
How about prepared style restaurant foods to go? Cool.
Well, I'm happy to be standing right in front of them. Aaron from the Green Grocer is here. Oh, actually, it's not Aaron. It's somebody else. Oh, yes, it is. It's Aaron with a haircut. That's why I didn't recognize him. He's got grilled cheese, breakfast burritos, hot pockets, hippie hash, crispy duck tacos, Ellie's Kitchen tacos, burritos, quesadillas, tortas, sopas, breakfast burritos. Quiche and Carry is here as well. Grab a quiche, and it looks like, oh, that's Sylvia herself. Sylvia from Mi Fiesta. Tamales, enchiladas, chili rellenos, chips, all kinds of salsas. So stop by and say hi to her.
Beautiful. Any dad would be pleased with sausages from Franco and Dennis Dunn's World Sausage Emporium.
Oh, don't get me started. I don't know what got into the boy this week, but why did he get creative? We have a new Hungarian sausage with some nutmeg and ginger and lemon zest. Excuse me, that's wrong. I can't even pronounce it. It's a hell of a verse or something like that he made. We have a Hungarian sausage with a special paprika and, cardamom. Mm. And we have an Uruguayan parrillada chorizo, a little bit spicy with paprika and red pepper.
Man, oh man, does that sound fabulous.
I don't know what got into the boy this week. He got creative. Gotta love him.
Good. Well, it sounds like a perfect morning for a farmer's market. Lovely fog came in last night, cooled things down into the upper 50s, low 60s. We're going to have pretty temperate weather today with highs in the mid 70s to low 80s. Great morning to go out to the farm market. What are you doing tomorrow, Dennis?
I'm going to do another market and probably get texts all day for my kids.
Oh, excellent. Are they going to cook for you, or are they to give you a special gift certificate or present that you're expecting?
Yeah, a text.
A text. Oh, the old man. He suffers.
That's right.
It's the original Certified Farmer's Market going on right now, 8:30 to 1 o'clock at the Luther Burbank Center, 60 seconds off Highway 101 at the River Road Mark West Springs exit. It's our longest-running, year-round farmer's market, 50-plus years and counting, since 1969. Also, the midweek market, if you can't get out there today, that's Wednesday, also 8:30 to 1 o'clock. Stock up on some goodies for Dad. Meet some friends, run into some neighbors. It is the gathering place in Sonoma County every Saturday and Wednesday. Thank you, Dennis. We will chat again next Saturday.
Thanks, Stephen, Glenn. Happy summer solstice.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Father's Day, summer solstice. My gosh, a lot going on this weekend, huh?
Yeah, that's good. Keep you busy.
Keep you busy. Well, the wonderful producer, Michelle, is in the KSRO producing room studio taking your calls at 636-1350 for Gwen Kilcher. Gwen co-writes the popular Plant Doctor column in the Press Democrat Saturdays. She's here on the radio answering questions from 9 until 11 at 636-1350, a one-on-one dialogue with Gwen. She's co-written that column in the Press Democrat for close to 30 years, and the column's in the paper today. Dana wrote it this Saturday, didn't she?
Yeah, today.
And, it's easy to communicate with Gwen. If you can't get to the phone and you're in front of your computer, heck, send us an email and attach a photo if you're so inclined. steve@ksro.com, and we'll answer your questions that way. We have a great guest who we'll be chatting with in about a half hour, Julie Cerny, spelled C-E-R-N-Y, and she wrote the most lovely book called The Little Gardener, Helping Children Connect with the Natural World. And it's a very special book for those of you that have youngsters living with you or grandparents, maybe minding the kids over the summer. This would be a wonderful book to share with your grandchildren or your children or yourself. It's not just written for children, too.
No, it's not.
It's a great primer book for adult gardeners, too.
Yeah.
And we'll chat with Julie in about a half hour. 636-1350. Call us now and join us in the KSRO Greenhouse celebrating summer solstice today on Garden Talk.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Hi, it's Jeff Davis once again for Smothers European Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa. As I've mentioned, now you have a choice of buying or leasing a vehicle. You can stop by in person or purchase a vehicle through their websites. If you're not quite ready to pull the trigger, you can call the dealerships to ask questions. This month, Smothers European Volvo Cars has teamed up with Costco to offer member-only incentives. If you're a Costco member, you can save $1,250 or $2,000 on select 2020 Volvo vehicles. This limited-time special ends on June 30th, so visit SmothersEuropeanVolvoCars.com for details. Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa is offering 0% APR financing for qualified buyers. Visit MBofSantaRosa.com to see the deal and get more information. Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa and Smothers European Volvo Cars. Family-owned businesses since 1982 and go local dealerships on the Corby Auto Row.
Austin here for More Home Services. One of the most common questions we get is, do I really need to spend $88 to tune up my air conditioner every single year? You know what? It's actually the best $88 you'll spend all year. For starters, you'll more than earn back your money in energy savings because your AC will run 10 to 20% more efficiently. Second, a tuned-up AC will break down less often because we'll catch the small problems before they become big, expensive problems. And third, your system is going to last longer, so you won't need to spend the money to replace it sooner than you have to. I can tell you from sad experience, missing a tune-up for even 1 year takes a real toll on your air conditioner. If you miss it for 2 years, well, you're just asking for trouble. So call More Home Services right now to schedule your precision tune-up and professional cleaning. I promise you, it will be the best $88 you spend all year. Just call 707-505-8000, or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Michael O'Shea here, a hot tub owner from A Hot Tub Place on Pioneer in Santa Rosa. With all we're dealing with, I found myself using my hot tub more and more. The owners of A Hot Tub Place told me that with the statewide stay-at-home orders, they've started delivering chemicals and supplies. Just go to ahottubplace.com. They're open, too, if you want to see their selection of therapy products. Local owners Mark and Glenn invite you to enjoy the therapy of your hot tub now. A Hot Tub Place on Pioneer Road in Santa Rosa says, be safe. Be healthy.
Get your outdoor space ready for staycations with Atlas Pavers. Implementing COVID safety precautions, free consultations, and 3D designs. AtlasPaversCo.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Greenhouse is welcoming gardeners out there in Radio Land at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. Easy to reach us, and we get right back to you via phone or email as quickly as possible during the show from 9 to 11. We'll tell you about the Good Food Hour in just a bit. We have a lively show at 11, starting with Chef John Ash, of course, my co-host, and we're celebrating the kickoff to a harvest season. You're thinking, what's being harvested now? Grapes? No. It's seaweed. That's right. To every season. Yes, seaweed. This weekend, a lot of the foragers are out on the coast, and we'll devote a lot of the show to the harvesting and preparing of seaweed, both here in the United States and 5,000 miles away in Scotland. So I hope you'll be able to join us for the Good Food Hour today. Pam, start us off. Welcome to Garden Talk. What can we do for you this morning?
I heard someplace using Epsom salts.
You want to know if you can use Epsom salts and what they're good for?
Yeah.
Okay.
On roses?
On roses, particularly.
That's what usually people use them for.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you talk to 20 different people and you'll get 20 different answers. And my answer is, if your soil is a good, you know, water-holding soil, has a lot of compost in it, but it does drain well, so the plants are in full sun and they're looking good, they're healthy, they're growing, you're giving them enough water, then you don't need Epsom salts. But, you know, if there's nutrient lacking, say magnesium. What else is in there? Magnesium sulfate. Maybe the pH is off a little bit. Well, you could try and experiment with some Epsom salts. I know people have sprinkled about a quarter of a cup around each plant. They've watered it in really well. And so you can try doing that on half of your roses and leave the other half alone and see if you see any results. But the main thing is to make sure your roses are getting enough water, they are growing in full sun, and you have some compost on top of the soil, you know, covering all the bare soil, which then they call it mulch. Because you put anything on top of the soil, they call it mulch. So that will break down and add goodies to your soil. And you might have to add it a couple times during the year, because the compost breaks down, and like I said, it just improves your soil, feeds the soil, which then feeds your plants, and there you go.
There's your answer, Pam. So it couldn't hurt to add some Epsom salt and do a little experiment with your roses.
If you wanted to try it, and you know, they supposedly it promotes more cane growth and sturdier canes, and it just gives them a little boost. But like I said, if the plants are lacking in other things, then Epsom salt's not going to help.
There's your answer, and thanks for your call, Pam. Also, some folks have said that they dress their citrus with Epsom salt also, supposedly helps with fruit production. A lot of this is anecdotal. I don't know how many hardcore science projects.
Yeah, but it depends. You know, people could say, well, I put out a lot of nitrogen on the soil and my plants are doing great. And okay, that nitrogen does promote leaf growth. Okay. But is nitrogen lacking in your soil to begin with? And therefore the addition of nitrogen helps. I mean, just like us too. I can't function all day. You know, I'm just so tired. Well, okay. Why are you tired? Well, I only got 2 hours of sleep. Okay. So if you fix the sleeping problem, then you will do better. So with plants, if you find out specifically what nutrient mineral is lacking, or maybe your soil's not correct, you're not getting enough water, or it's getting too much sun when it wants less, you know, you do all that little deductions and
process of elimination.
Yeah, then you can pinpoint instead of just throwing something out there and say, well, let's see if this works.
Anybody have contrary information or would like to step up to the podium and defend Epsom salts that they've been beneficial for them? Give us a call, 636-1350 or steve@ksro.org. Hi, Gwen. Hi, Steve. My sickly bougainvillea is in a shaded pot and faces southwest. It gets lots of sun from 1 to 6 p.m. and is on a trellis against a light green wood wall. The plant is 3 years old and only about 4 feet tall. And it has some sickly leaves. Unfortunately, I don't know that photo came across. No, unfortunately, the photo did not come across. So anything you can tell Lee without a photo at this point?
Well, she says the plant
we do have a photo.
3 years old and only 4 feet. Okay, well, number one, bougainvillea is like it hot. Hot, hot, hot. If you've ever been to Mexico, they are in their glory. So to be in a shaded area in a pot that perhaps is too small for the plant, that it's growing in an area where it doesn't like it. It needs full sun all day long. And, okay, I see some browning around the edges. Unfortunately, she doesn't show us the size of the pot that it's in. Could be also that you planted it too deep and the stem is slowly rotting. Could be that it's not getting enough water or it's getting too much water. One of the two. It's always hard to tell until you stick your fingers down in the soil and you feel what that soil's like. And then how often are you watering? Are you checking the soil to see if it does need water before you go ahead and water? Or are you not watering at all and you're waiting for the plant to start wilting before you start watering? So you said it gets a lot of sun from 1 to 6. That's not a lot of sun. So if you can move it to a full sun area, check that the plant is not too big for the pot. You started off with a good planting soil. And it also, with this browning edges like this, it could be that the water is not going through the drainage holes. And so you're giving it some water and there's some salt built up in the soil and therefore the roots start sucking water out of the leaves, causing this browning. Instead of the roots taking water up to the leaves, it's taking it out. So you've got a little detective work to do here this morning. And So like I said, if you're going to put it in a bigger pot, make sure that it's not planted too deep. The one thing with bougainvilleas, though, is they don't like to be transplanted. You buy the plant from the nursery, and then you go and you yank it out of the pot, you loosen up the root ball, and you plant it in another container or in the ground. You've just done everything that bougainvillea doesn't like. So depending on the plant, whether it starts to grow and recovers and is fine, or you see it dying a slow death. They don't want their roots disturbed. So when you buy a bougainvillea from the nursery, you can make two slits down the side of the pot and just open it up and scoot the plant out and put it in the planting hole, and it'll never know that you transplanted it. Or if you can't do that, make sure that the soil is wet and tip the plant on its side right next to the planting hole. Tap it a bit or so and slowly take it out of the pot. But anytime you do any pulling, you pull on the stems and then you're pulling on the roots, then it's going to talk to you and say, no, I don't like that. So you have to be as gentle as possible when transplanting.
Well, there's your complete, thorough answer, Lee. If you require further assistance, call us at 636-1350 or shoot us a follow-up email.
Yeah, so let us know what you've come up with, whether the plant was too deep or it's not getting enough water, but definitely you need to move it into the sun all day long.
There's your answer.
And protect it in the winter. It doesn't like the frost either. So maybe this thing was even getting hit with some really cold winters, and it had some dieback on it, and it never gets a chance to grow. So yada, 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 yada.
Multiple possible answers.
Yeah.
But there's some places to start with for checking. But water is one of the things you said initially, that either too much or too little water.
Yeah, yeah. And bougainvilleas love full sun. Like I said, in Mexico, Southern California, the hotter the better.
Well, Healdsburg does get a lot of sun, a lot of heat.
Yes, but she's
only afternoon is what she's getting.
Yeah,
okay, we'll take a break at that point. 636-1350. Nobody on hold at this moment, so easy to get into the greenhouse in the early part of the show. In about 10, 15 minutes, we'll be chatting with Julie Cerny about her lovely, lovely new book, The Little Gardener. This is Garden Talk. It's live at KSRO.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The one thing we are all looking for in this tumultuous time is unity. Hi, this is Pat Carrigan. Please join us this Sunday for an event that's meant to inspire all of us. KSRO and We 2020 present Women of Faith. Sonoma County women clergy from a myriad of faiths come together with a message of unity and peace. A perfect example of how people with differing ideas can come together for a common goal. You'll hear from representatives of Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, the Muslim faith, and others, each embracing their own beliefs and each with outstretched arms to all of us. You'll feel the power of their words and the strength of their devotion. Live on KSRO and on Facebook Sunday at noon, Women of Faith, a call for unity. Together we can. Women of Faith, Sunday at noon on KSRO and Facebook Live.
And I rise up, I like the waves, I rise up in spite of it.
Keep cool this summer. For a limited time, Ongro & Sons is offering an AC tune-up Freon check and charge that includes up to 1 pound of Freon, regularly priced at $249, for just $49. Tuning up your AC will enhance your home comfort, help minimize repair and operating costs, and increase the life expectancy of your system.
Hello, friends. This is Ernie Ongro. Along with my brother, Paul, and cousins, Dean and Mitch, we own and operate Ongro & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. We're a family business opened in 1932 by our grandfather. It's always been a big part of our lives. Just like our parents before us, we grew up around the shop, getting our hands dirty, learning the value of hard work, and giving our customers the very best. Whether you need maintenance, a repair, or want to update your system, remember, Ongro & Sons, we're always here for you.
To schedule a $49 AC tune-up, Freon check and charge, visit OngroAndSons.com or call 579-3511. Ongro & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a modern company since 1932.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find Garden Starts, the best produce of the season from Singing Frogs, The Patch, Armstrong Valley, Ponce Farms, and Hector's Honey. The Beet Generation has a large selection of fresh-made pasta. Savor farm fresh eggs, jams, and jellies, fresh mushrooms, and fresh fruit, apricots, peaches, nectarines, strawberries, and cherries. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, and duck, Anna's fresh seafood, and Franco's freshly made sausages. The best choices of food vendors, the Green Grocer's Farm Fresh Menu, Eli's Kitchen has returned to provide fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmer's market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Mostly blue skies today, high 84, 70 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 58, 56 on the shores. 87 then for Sunday, 68 in Bodega Bay. Monday back up to 90 degrees, 67 on the coast with sunny skies. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Talk. It is live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. You can reach us now because we're back taking calls at 636-1350, or you can always reach us at steve@ksro.com with a question and, of course, attach a photo or two. We've been doing this for a while, 34 years, longest running radio gardening show in the United States of America. That is confirmed, and it's happening here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, and it's because your support, your participation in the show, that it's lasted through a number of presidents, a number of decades, a number of administrations, through epidemics, through floods, through earthquakes,
fires,
through everything possible. Garden Talk endures, and we thank you for helping us to endure through so many decades. We will be chatting with Julie in just a few minutes. At 636-1350, if you want to reach us during the next 7-8 minutes, heck, we're no one on hold, or you can shoot us an email, because we'll be talking to Julian, the author of The Little Gardener, in just a couple minutes. At 11 o'clock, we'll be chatting with Heidi Herman from Strong Arm Farm about her magnificent, and I have them in front of me, seaweeds, which she packages and sells to restaurants and retail all over Northern California. Since it's the kickoff of seaweed foraging season. Yes, there actually is a season to it. Followed up by Matthew Williams, chef and co-owner of Ramen Gajin in Sebastopol, one of the great restaurants of Sonoma County that draws from all over the Bay Area. He uses a lot of seaweeds in his cooking. Then we will chat with Fiona Bird from the lovely Hebridean island of South Uist, off the Scottish mainland. She's one of Europe's best known and loved foragers, specializes in seaweed, and she's written a wonderful book on seaweed that we'll talk about shortly before noon today. So it's all seaweed talk on the Good Food Hour today, and I think you'll definitely enjoy that. From Santa Rosa, it looks like, look who would like a word with us. Our friend, Rachel Spaeth from Luther Burbank Home and Gardens. Hi, Rachel. So nice to hear from you. Welcome.
Good morning. I forgot to send you guys an email this week, so here I am. Surprise.
Hi.
Well, give us some good news.
Oh, well, the good news is we're opening tomorrow to the public.
Finally, yes.
On Father's Day.
On Father's Day, yeah. So from us having our little thing that we had with you guys first about a month ago, we were able to get enough community support to get the gardens back to our usual maintenance load in time. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up with about 45 garden volunteers who came in and just really cleaned the place out. I mean, we're still going to have weeds. We're still going to be some spots that we couldn't get to because they were too close to the fence line or whatever. But I'm really, really proud of all the work that we've done, and we are excited to welcome the public. But we have some caveats. So, we still need to be able to have our volunteers inside, and we find it problematic to be mixing them with the general public. So the general public days to come and visit the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens are going to be Sundays, Mondays, and Wednesdays.
Okay.
That way our garden volunteers can still come in on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays and get work done without being interrupted by general public.
Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday. What are the times for the general public?
8 a.m. to dusk.
8 a.m. to dusk. All right.
Yep. And then there's a couple other things. We have no restrooms available. There are no drinking fountains available. People are not allowed to use the picnic tables, and the seating is also unavailable. The seating is unavailable, one, because a lot of the benches are too close together, but two, because we just stained them all. Mm. And so they need a little while for that finish to really soak into the wood before people want to, you know, ruin their clothes on things.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then, so we are not going to be opening for tour season probably this year. The house is just too small to allow safe social distancing inside. And our gift shop, we've transitioned to just having everything online. So people can even go online and purchase plants and have no contact pickup from our plant sale if they just go to our website, www.lutherburbank.org.
Okay, that all sounds good. And I'm going to ask Gwen to think of something that I can't remember. We had a caller last week who said she had a plant growing.
That's what I'm just looking up as you guys are talking.
Okay.
I'm like, what did we want to
I was going to email
her?
You this week, Rachel, with a question. We'll find this.
Oh, it was something that Luther Burbank developed, or did he develop?
While you're looking for that, I'm going to ask Rachel, what's in bloom now? What's drawing your eye?
Oh, boy. So at the beginning of the shutdown, I made sure that we transitioned everything over to our spring demo beds really fast as a priority before I could get in and weed everything. And we put some of the Sempasuchi, the really tall marigolds, next to the kitchen garden this year. It's the first time we've ever tried them. And they will just knock your socks right off. They're all, like, beautiful, waist high, in full bloom, and they just look spectacular. And then there were a couple of spots where we found that instead of pulling things out and using our resources that way, we just left them in place. And so I have this wonderful bed of sunflowers, delphiniums, and columbines that just have a really wonderful combination of textures and colors. And it's really coming along great. And then also we redid all of the arms of the sundial that we have here. So they're beautiful Shasta daisies this year. We went through and we dug everything up and we divided it and we got rid of all the weeds, and they're all in full bloom right now too. But don't smell them, because they're kind of... Luther never perfected that part.
Good to know.
I once had a dinner party, and I was like, oh, I'm going to make this beautiful bouquet of daisies, right? And so we were having dinner and it was great, and I kept sitting there like, oh, what is that awful smell?
Yeah.
And it turns out that the Shasta daisy just smells terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Now I just pair it with something else fragrant, like roses or something, and it's good.
There you go.
But Luther Burbank really didn't hybridize any roses, did he?
We've got a couple, actually, and a couple of the very first patents that he did, or that were given to people, are a couple of his roses. I think he's got 5 rose patents in his name, and then there were some plums and some peaches that were patented under his name, too.
Before we let Rachel go, Gwen, did you find out that question that we had from a listener?
Yes. Edna had asked us. She said she has this evergreen amaryllis, and she was pretty sure that Luther Burbank developed it and doesn't know the name. Does that sound familiar?
Some amaryllis belladonna or something like
something.
That?
Something.
It's entirely possible, because he did a lot of work with amaryllis. He's the one that crossed the amaryllis and the crinum lily to make an amacrinum. I can dig through some of the archives and see if I can find a green one, because I think that we would have pictures of that.
She said,
and then I might be able to come with a cultivar name for that.
She said it's an evergreen amaryllis, so that would narrow it down pretty much.
Yeah, so if it stays green all the time, it's probably going to be an amacrinum lily. So it would be an amaryllis crossed with a crinum. Luther did that, and he called it dressing the naked lady because you get the foliage and the flowers at the same time.
Wow.
That's cute. Okay, well, hopefully Edna's listening, and she just
and
got
I'm,
her
I will question. Send you an email just refreshing your memory about our little conversation because you probably have other things that you need to attend to. But if
oh,
you have
just a couple.
Okay. If you have any spare time, we'll pick your brain on that. Just to remind people, Luther Burbank Gardens reopening to the general public Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday from 8 a.m. until dusk. Okay?
You got it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Our
you
pleasure.
Too.
Great talking to you. Rachel
Spaeth,
curator for the Luther Burbank Gardens, an unexpected treat. We'll join Julie, our author of a wonderful children's gardening book after this. It's Garden Talk Live.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Here's Chapter 8 in the history of Montgomery Village. KSRO's Michael O'Shea.
Since February, we've been tracing the roots of Montgomery Village by telling the story of its founder and builder, Hugh Cotting. Fast forwarding to the 21st century with MV Shops being owned and run by Hugh's son, David Cotting, and Montgomery Village was suffering from a deep recession of 2009. David and then marketing director Melissa Williams began looking for a way to create more fun for shoppers at Montgomery Village. Melissa, along with Mike Waterman, program director of 97.7 The River, collaborated on an idea they took to David, the concept of weekend live music at MV. Pop to dance to classic rock music, filling the Saturday shopping experience. Melissa and Mike booked an up-and-coming cover band named The Unauthorized Rolling Stones to make Saturday special, and it was an immediate hit. Soon, every Saturday was filled with pop or rock tunes from groups like Pride and Joy or Wonder Bread 5. The Saturday music series expanded to Sunday and some weeknights and created fundraising events for dozens of local nonprofits. After 12 years of weekend concerts, almost $1 million has been raised for local charities. While the series is on hiatus until later in the summer or fall, the weekend music series firmly brought Montgomery Village the title of being the most fun place in Sonoma County on summer weekends. And a great tribute to owners and now husband and wife, David and Melissa Cotty.
To hear all the stories in the history of Montgomery Village so far, go to mvshops.com and click on the History of Montgomery Village page.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. Folks, I've been helping people obtain the right financing for nearly 2 decades. This experience has helped hundreds of homeowners get through some challenging situations. Maybe you're a property investor, or how about a first-time home buyer? Divorces are very complicated, and you need my experience to understand what your mortgage options are. Inherited property or rent-to-own agreements are also my specialty. Financing a home is a huge transaction in your life. When combined with a challenging situation, you need the advice and confidence to do it right. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgeadair.com. That's georgeadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Do you hate your boring desk job? Want to be outside enjoying the sun? Capital Lumber is looking for people to join their team. They're currently hiring yard assistants and forklift operators. Capital is a family-owned wholesale distributor of building materials in the beautiful city of Healdsburg. They provide benefits ranging from medical, dental, and vision to retirement plans and fun branch activities like paintball and ziplining. Apply at capital-lumber.com or call the office at 707-433-7070 and ask for HR.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO, celebrating 34 years here in Northern California. And occasionally we run across a gardening book that piques both of our interests. We get a lot of gardening books in the KSRO Garden Talk Library. probably 500 to 600 or so at this point after 34 years. But this one, it's small but mighty. It's called The Little Gardener, Helping Children Connect with the Natural World. Julie Cerny is the author, and she's speaking to us from the beautiful Hudson Valley of New York. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well. Good morning. Hello to Gwen. And Gwen's familiar with your part of the world because Gwen's from Long Island, aren't you, Gwen?
I am, yeah. I have family.
Very nice.
I have family out there in Westchester and Tappan and whatnot. So, yeah.
So the Hudson Valley, great. About 2.5 hours or so north of New York City. Is that correct? A couple hours?
That's right.
So The Little Gardener, is this your first book?
It is.
And when you don't, you're not an author full time, what do you do to support yourself?
Oh, I have a mix of endeavors at the moment. I live and work on a farm called Farm at the Landing, which is a fledgling cooperative farm that has several different businesses. Damsel Garden, which is a cut flower business. Cowberry Farm rents some space from us and raises beef cattle. And then there's also a goat cheese dairy operation on the farm. So three distinct businesses. And I live there and I help mostly with the cut flower business and vegetables. And I'm hoping to get some family and kid garden programs going there soon after the smoke clears.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a diversified operation. So are you currently involved in teaching children gardening? Do you have a background in that, in education?
I do. So I started out teaching, in a broader sense, environmental education and outdoor education, taking kids hiking, studying, looking at pond water under a microscope and looking at animal tracks. And something that I came to realize is this is all great. Kids were getting really into it, but it still seemed like that, for me, that type of education, it seemed like it kept nature as an other to kids. It wasn't really showing kids and families how much they were a part of nature. So it's great to identify birds and trees, but it's a whole other thing to eat nature. And so that's what piqued my interest in organic gardening. I spent a few years working for the Sylvia Center at Catchkey Farm in Kinderhook, New York, where I worked with kids of all ages and adults and families, working to show kids how fruit grows, where it comes from, how delicious it tastes, how fun it is to grow it yourself, and how to make healthy meals from what you can grow. And my favorite part of that work was showing children how they could co-create with nature. I have since left that position, and in this new space I'm on at the Farm at the Landing, hoping to cultivate some programs of my own.
There was so much that caught my interest and really spoke to me in this book. One thing that I underlined, and it's going to be my way to live when I'm attempting to teach someone something, is you wrote, "Be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage." What do you mean by that?
You know, in my experience, sometimes adults want to, it's okay to want to be involved and want to show children the things you're excited about and teach them about the things you're excited about. But in my experience, both in my own life growing up and working with kids over the last 15 years, when their curiosity is steering the ship, it's a whole different type of learning that happens. I feel like it sticks better. It resonates more with them. So I like to say, in this book, we follow kind of this chronological story of a big gardener and a little gardener, and that can be kind of whatever combination works for your particular family. It's guiding them to co-create a garden with nature and showing a big gardener how to basically be like nature is going to be the main teacher in the garden. And this book I really wanted to show a big gardener how to become nature's teaching assistant when working with little gardeners, and to help nature cultivate within little gardeners, cultivate them to be nature's keeper and to take better care of nature by developing this relationship through co-creating and growing food with nature.
Why don't you take us through the chapters and give us a couple highlights of each chapter, starting with dreaming your garden. What do you accomplish in that first chapter?
Sure. So for me, something that's really important in my life is setting intentions. And I find that if I just take a couple minutes at the beginning of the day to think about how I'd like the day to go, things I'd like to accomplish, I'm able to be much more focused on accomplishing those things. And it's no different for bigger projects. So I really wanted to set the tone of the book with setting intentions and thinking big and really drawing in and unearthing the creativity that that a family has when they're thinking about having a garden, and to make sure that they're identifying some goals that are really important to them that are going to carry them through the whole process. Because, you know, we all have those times when we're gardening where the weeds are crazy or it hasn't rained and it gets a little tough. But if you keep coming back to that reason and that dream you have, your underlying mission statement, which is what this chapter helps guide the reader to do, then I feel like things can go a lot more smoothly. And when those bumps happen, you can kind of embrace that uncertainty and know that you're still working toward that goal. So I encourage both the big and the little gardener to do a visualization activity and just to think really big about what a garden means to them and what kind of relationship they want to have with that with their garden.
In that Dreaming Your Garden section, you asked the children to learn or think about what was on my land before I arrived. What was growing here a year ago, 10, 100 years? That type of questions to inspire kids to use their imagination and do some research on their own is very exciting.
In chapter two, that kind of continues. I really wanted, for me, permaculture is an underlying philosophy that I keep coming back to that just makes a lot of sense to me. And observing and discovering and connecting with the land is what chapter two is all about. And in permaculture, being an intentional and mindful observer is so important. So I really wanted the reader to understand that, you know, your garden is going to be interacting with all the natural systems around you. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to put the garden here because I feel like it. No, let's think about sun, and let's think about, you know, where the frost forms first in the fall and where it melts last in the spring. And really getting to know how natural systems affect your space, and then asking, you know, if I were a tomato plant, where would I want to be hanging out in this space?
I love the idea of the unconventional places where plants grow. There's a beautiful picture of a bathtub that's been repurposed for growing flowers, and you pick some flowers and you eat those flowers. So here, kids are blown away that, what? Something growing in the bathtub? And she's eating it? Is that possible? And you point out that a garden can exist anywhere. It can exist in a bucket, in a backyard, on a windowsill, or even in a boot. On page 130,
I've seen that too.
Some flowers planted in an old boot that was cast off.
Yeah.
Kids love this.
And just knowing that this can happen, gardening can happen anywhere, and wherever you try to do it, it's going to be worthwhile. Even if it just is that one boot or that one yogurt container, it'll be an adventure.
Into growing your garden, planting, caretaking, harvesting. You're pretty wild for cucumbers, aren't you?
I am. And, you know, it's something that kids... cucumbers were always a go-to and have always been a go-to for families because it's something that a lot of kids like. So it's a nice gateway into exploring vegetables being more diverse than maybe we see in the supermarket. There's a part of the book where we do a cucumber taste test or taste test picnic, maybe I call it in the book. And, I'll tell a quick story. Walking around the Learning Garden at the Sylvia Center, we were about to pick some lettuce for a salad we were going to prepare and share that day. And, you know, we had kind of a frilly summer crisp lettuce, and we had like a reddish butterhead. And one of the elementary school students said, where's all the regular lettuce? And so we had to have a conversation about there's really no such thing as regular lettuce. And they're like, what? So I I like to use cucumbers as that gateway because it's something that a lot of kids like. And we grew a few different kinds of cucumbers, like the salt and pepper cucumber, the dragon's egg cucumber, which has a white skin. There was another type of Asian cucumber that had a reddish orange skin. And we'd sit down and do a taste test. And we one of the students actually said, you know, well, this one, this dragon cucumber, this one's my favorite. So, but why can't I get this in the store? So this opens up a lot of really big things. We all eat. So the baseline of food, and we all rely on nature to survive. So that baseline of gardening, that baseline of food, that baseline of nature allows us to open up a lot of different questions and allows the garden to be a really distinctly beautiful and diverse classroom.
We only have about a minute left, but I want you to comment on a wonderful statement you made under the Growing Your Garden section, and that is mulching, the highest return on investment.
Yes.
If you teach one thing other, then learn to mulch. And also, I like the quote that I think that the most significant lesson that a garden can teach is patience. And we're always talking about that on the show, too. So there's a lot of life lessons that are in part of this book. You've done a beautiful job, I think, exciting the passion and interest in young gardeners to get out there and plant something and do that with their friends and family. It's called The Little Gardener, Helping Children Connect with the Natural World. Julie Cerny, it's spelled C-E-R-N-Y. And thank you for writing this book. Any closing thoughts you want to leave us with?
I just want to say thank you so much for having me, and I like to remind everyone that I work with in the garden that you're as much a part of nature as the birds and the flowers and the trees, and to just remember that you have the power to co-create in nature and make a difference.
Couldn't think of a better person to talk with to celebrate today's summer solstice, Julie.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys today.
Thanks for being with us,
too. Your book is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful.
Take care.
Thank you, Gwen. Really appreciate being here.
Thank you.
Good talking with you, Julie. Bye-bye. Right. Julie Cerny, The Little Gardener. And we'll give away a copy of this book at the end of hour number 2 of Garden Talk. How about that?